So today's homily, I want to highlight the verse that you see up here on our screens. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. So what does Jesus mean by this verse? When you look at the context in which Jesus gives us these words, there's two levels of meaning. First of all, he says this in reference to himself, right? He says it as a foreshadowing of what is about to happen. That is his passion, death, and resurrection. He is that grain of wheat that falls to the ground and dies, right? He's saying that the hour has come. We're approaching that time. We're in chapter 12 of John now. And the context of Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection is the Passover feast. Right? Greeks have been coming. This is a time when you got pilgrims from all over the region coming to Jerusalem to observe the Passover feast, to commemorate the time that the Lord saved the Israelites from slavery. And so that's why you say here some Greeks had come to worship at the Passover feast. So people were coming from all over, not just in Israel, but from around the Mediterranean world. And when Jesus heard this, that's when he said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." It's this time of Passover and the time of fulfillment of that prophecy of how all the nations will stream towards Jerusalem. And remember that Jesus, remember we talked about how Jesus is identified as the new temple, because the temple was where God resided in this world for the Jews, right? And then what does Jesus say? Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll rebuild it. And he was talking about the temple of his body. That is the dwelling place of God on earth. So he was making a claim about himself. So he is the new covenant, the new temple, and he is that grain of wheat then that needs to fall to the ground and die. Because remember that Jesus, up to this point, he's already foretold his suffering and his death to his disciples, but they just don't get it, right? They don't understand how him suffering and dying would do any good whatsoever. How is that going to liberate them from the oppression of the Romans? But as we heard in last Sunday's gospel, what Jesus means by salvation is much bigger than what the disciples had in mind with regards to salvation. They were thinking salvation from the Romans, being saved. Jesus is the Messiah and Savior, all right, but in a much more cosmic way than his disciples could imagine at that time. The salvation many of the disciples were thinking of was being saved from the oppression of the Roman Empire and the abuse of power of their collaborators like Herod. But do you remember the verse that we focused on last week? John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that everyone who might believe in him might not perish but have eternal life." So the salvation Jesus is meaning is not a political salvation, but a salvation from all the sins of a fallen humanity, the eternal death that results from a fallen humanity, this trajectory that we are going on as the human family because of the way that we're in such conflict with one another. It's this cosmic salvation that Jesus wants to save us. The salvation God intends is the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy that we heard in that first reading. "The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers, for they broke my covenant, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will place my law within their hearts and write it upon their hearts." Because remember, it was written on tablets before. And so he's making poetically making the analogy, I'm going to write the law in their hearts. It'll be within them. "I will be their God and they shall be my people." How is God going to be within us? By imparting his sacramental life of the church, which is the very giving of Jesus, the means by which God shares his life, the means by which God gives us Jesus. All from the least to the greatest shall know me, says the Lord, for I will forgive their evil doing and remember their sin no more. So he's offering a way out for humanity. This means of redemption and salvation. Not just the Jews, but all the peoples will know the Lord. But for this to happen, the Lamb of God has to be sacrificed. That's why it's in the context of Passover. Right? Each family had to sacrifice a lamb, a Passover lamb, a spotless Passover lamb. And it's by that that the angel of death would pass over the Jewish homes. And so, Jesus is that Passover lamb for us. The lamb to be sacrificed for the expiation for the evils wrought by humanity. The sacrificial lamb who would atone and take upon himself the death that we were to suffer. And so when Jesus says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, he's first referring to himself. He is the grain of wheat that will fall to the ground and die. Why? Because if he doesn't, Jesus says he remains just a grain of wheat. One person in the time of ancient Israel, look, he even says this, right, in the scriptures. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. So he's recognizing the fear there, right? He would exhibit it on Holy Thursday night. Father, take this cup away from me. So he's recognizing that he's troubled. He said, because God became fully human. So experienced emotions like us. I am troubled now. Yet what am I going to do? What should I say? Father, take me away from this hour. But it's for this very hour that I came. This is the reason why I'm here. So the death of that one seed falling into the earth and giving birth to the resurrection would allow the one person of Jesus Christ then to rise to the birth of his mystical body, the church, which would allow then the members of his body to spread throughout the earth, including Jackson, Michigan, right? You and I are part of the fruit that was produced from the death of that single grain of wheat. And so that leads up to the second level then of meaning that Jesus meant. That's why he says there in the rest of today's passage, you know, remember that Jesus calls us, to bear fruit. In John 15, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit. Because without me, you can do nothing. By this is the Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. And so that helps us understand that next, the verse of 26 of today's gospel, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, right? Where I am, there also my servant must be. So we as disciples of Jesus have to follow the way that he taught us. We are to see ourselves too as that grain of wheat that needs to die, dying to self, so that we too can bear much fruit. We might not like it, right? Say, Father, save me from this hour. But it's for this purpose that you were baptized and that you were sent. So if you're somewhat stubborn like me, you might say, well, I don't want to die. I want to live the way I want to live. But Jesus is saying, okay, knucklehead, what I'm trying to say is that if you really want to experience the fullness of life that I meant for you to have, then you'll die to your old self that you're so stubbornly hanging on to. That's the only way that you'll be able to experience the life that you can't even imagine. So that's kind of the Father Chaz translation of what we just heard. What were our Lord's precise words? Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Friends, we have to die to self. That's the problem we have in our society, right? People don't want to die to self. Jesus says, whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. That's the literal translation, but the biblical meaning of that word is not hate as in detest your life. It's more about how you love and hate something is indicative about how attached or detached you are to something. So if you love something, you're attached to it. If you hate something, you're detached to it. right? You're not attached to it. So it's whoever is not attached to his life in this world, whoever doesn't cling to his life in this world and is singularly focused or obsessed with its riches and its pleasures, is the one who will preserve or save his life or her life in the next. So during Lent especially, we sacrifice or give up even good things, not because we think they're bad. We're always supposed to give up the bad stuff, right? But during Lent, we even give up good things so as to endure, so as to make sure that we're not so attached to the things of this world, that we forget the true meaning of life, because sometimes we can make those things the meaning of our life. And Lent gives us the opportunity to ensure that those things aren't, we're not making it the true meaning of our life, so that we don't forget the greater mission to which we are called. So use the rest of this Mass and your personal prayer time in silence this week as we approach Holy Week to identify those things in our life that's getting in the way. Identify those things, those ways that we need to relinquish and let go of because it's getting in the way of what Jesus is calling us to do individually and as a parish. Maybe you've been dismissive of Jesus' call to be his disciple because you've let worldly things get in the way. Maybe it's something as little as spring break planning, or if you're like me, keeping up with all the March Madness scores. By the way, I can't believe a 16 seed actually beat a number one seed in the country, right? Or maybe it's not one single thing, but it's simply planning too many worldly activities and events, whether they are your events or your kids' events, that God gets crowded out of your life. The activities or things that we need to relinquish or let go of could be very important things. But if they are getting in the way, even those things, those important things need to fall by the wayside so that you can faithfully live as Jesus' disciple. Or else you'll miss your hour. You'll miss the hour for which you've been, for which you were created. If we're not willing to let go of those things, then that's indicative of who we think God is in our life, really. So Lent is especially that time to die to self, particularly as we approach Holy Week. In these moments of silence and in the preparation of the gifts, let's identify and then offer to God and sacrifice whatever is getting in the way, so that Jesus can begin to produce abundant fruit in and through us.